Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Deuce McAllister here with Charlie Long, and they have allowed me to be in the big chair. Steve Geller was going to join me, but I told Steve, man, get out of here, man. I've been preparing for this all day, all week. With my partner, well, I'll put partners, but Mike Haas is already in Seattle, as well as Robert, as well as Jeff. The team left last night. I leave in the morning. So you have me and Charlie for the next 2 hours to give us your radiotherapy. We will try to make it fun. We will try to talk through the sporting world. And then at 7 o'clock, we will get you over to our team for the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. And hopefully it's a lot of fun. That's what it should be. At 6 o'clock, though, we do have the Brian Kelly show, as well as the LSU Tigers take on Southeastern, the Tulane Green Wave take on the Ole Miss Rebels tomorrow. And so, exciting weekend as always for us. And Charlie, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Deuce. How are you feeling about the Ole Miss Tulane game? I know that we did pick six yesterday, and you know, Bobby and I were the ones that picked Tulane plus the points because it's a big, big point spread. And Steve and Mike were both with the Rebels there. I think it's going to be a really, really fun matchup.
Should be a fun matchup. I mean, I've followed kind of, I don't know if I followed either team closely.
Okay.
When you look at that, the spread, I think it's 11 or 12, I think I was told earlier.
Last I saw it was 12 and a half points.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot of points. I know Ole Miss, last time you played Tulane, it was a lot closer. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Tulane didn't have their starting quarterback. He was hurt. And that was here at Yeoman Stadium. But now it's up in Oxford. You know, one thing about that game, and I don't know if either team has played at this time, but it is the game kickoff is at 2:30.
Yeah.
2:30, it is going to be hot. Now, it may not be first week of September hot, but it's still going to be pretty warm, and so your depth will be tested. I think it'll be a good game. For Tulane to truly have a chance in that game, they you cannot get overwhelmed by the atmosphere.
Right.
You've got to be able to be in the game in the first half and, you know, all right, We can settle down. We can regroup. We can go out and play our game, because that's the biggest thing, you know, when you're playing in a game like that with sometimes an opponent that may have a couple of better athletes. It's can you withstand that first blow? And that'll be the same thing with the Saints going to Seattle. The Saints, you know, you look at the numbers and the matchup. That's a tough matchup for the Saints. That's a tough matchup for Tulane, and you're on the road. And so it'll be intriguing to see how both teams kind of handle that situation. And, you know, we'll get into a little more depth about the Saints matchup as they travel up to Seattle. And I know normally me and Haas, we will talk about kind of the injury situations for both teams, and we will get into that a little bit as well. But, you know, I want you to give us a call or shoot us a text and just tell us your thoughts on and on what we need to do better as far as each team. And then as we prepare for high school football, I think, you know, we've in Louisiana, we've probably got about most teams have anywhere between 3 to 4 games, depending on where they are. So you're about a quarter of the way. Are there any exciting matchups that you've seen? You know, I know had a kind of a doubleheader last week in the Dome, and that was one that showcased some of our top teams in the area, or at least in the state here. And I think it was Rommel and Edna Carr that both prevail as far as victorious in those matchups. So, you know, pretty good showing.
Yeah,
pretty good showing.
Ian Ozan and Coach Lou Valden were there for the prep show last week, and they covered Rommel taking down U-High. It was a 30-17 game. Rommel bounced back from a week one loss that they had to LCA. And so Steve is going to go get to watch his boy play in the battle for the megaphone tonight when Rommel plays Shaw. And that's also the game that Ian and Coach Lou are going to be at tonight for tonight's prep show. And then, as you had mentioned, it was a doubleheader. The second game, Carr, the Cougars take down American Heritage in overtime, too. So it was an awesome, awesome matchup that was streamed online. So we got to kind of watch Carr come back from a late deficit, force overtime, and then win in overtime against a national power in American Heritage from Florida.
Yeah, and so I got to ask you, the quarterback for American Heritage is committed to Texas. And have you heard that, I think, going forward, he's not going to play anymore?
No, I haven't heard that.
I've got to confirm that, but that was something that I kind of saw was maybe he is going to focus on not the high school career anymore, but just to get ready for, you know, as he tries to arrive and make a play at the University of Texas. That's where he's committed. And Bell is the son of the former NBA player. Raj Bell is his father. And so he's a 5-star, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. And so I know that was one report that was floated out there.
Yeah, I'm seeing now the Sports Illustrated had this. Dia Bell, the 5-star recruit, the Texas commit, his senior season has been ended due to a quote-unquote minor procedure. He'll be out for the rest of 2025. So kind of like what you're mentioning, he's going to get ready for his college career, which is going to be starting, obviously, next year at the University of Texas. But obviously a very talented kid. Carr still with a massive win over American Heritage, because that's two national powers going at it. Like, depending on which ranking you're looking at, typically Carr was around number 15. American Heritage was top 10. And they come to the Superdome, and Carr beats them in OT. I mean, that's a great win for Coach Bryce Brown in that program.
Yeah, you know, regardless of what poll you're looking at, you know, they're going to be skewed depending on who's the voter. But a ton of D1 athletes on both sides of the ball for both teams. And so it was good that the city was able to host that. And, you know, those young men were able to showcase their talent in the Superdome. I'm going to give you the this Sunday, the Saints battle the Seahawks in Seattle. Start your game day at 11 a.m. with Steve Geller and Charlie Long, the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. Then at 1 o'clock, join Bobby Hebert, Steve Geller for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. We'll break down the matchup at 3:05 and kick off with Deuce and Hoss with Jeff Nowak on the sideline. Then after the game, sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the point after. If you love football, we've got 10 hours of wall-to-wall black and gold coverage coming your way. Saints Seahawks Sunday on WWL live and on the free Odyssey app. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Saints offense and tell you a little bit of some of the guests we have coming up. We have Dalton Walserman coming up at 4:30, and Jen Mueller will give us the breakdown. She's the Seahawks sideline reporter, and Dalton, we're going to talk a little bit about college football. He's a data analyst and co-host of the PFF college football show. So all of that coming up in a little bit. And like I talked about, we have the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup coming up at 7 and 6 o'clock, the Brian Kelly Show. Deuce McAllister here, me and Charlie Long on Fans in the Pro.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to check your dial. This is WWL Fans in the Pro. Deuce McAllister holding it down with Charlie Long as my partner Mike Haas is already in Seattle. So, you know, hey, I told you we got a 2-hour therapy session. So, you know, we're going to make it a little fun. And hopefully you guys, everyone is listening on the free Odyssey app. And if you can give us a call at 504-350-1746, I'm going to go to the phone line right now to Eric, who is on the Gulf Coast, in Biloxi. Eric, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Listen, I've seen the last couple of years where Coach Brian Kelly, he brings a lot of transfer guys. He forget about the guys he recruited mostly. One point I want to make was going to give him a problem this year, in my opinion, is that we look at Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. You come down with Jefferson and Chase, and then you have league neighbors and Brian Thomas, Calvin Lacy, Kyle Parker, and Chris Hilton Jr. was the heir apparent to the throne for the next two big LSU receivers. And he brings these transfer guys like Brown and Anderson, Nick Anderson, and Aaron. These guys are both the slot receivers. I think Brian Thomas and Kyle Parker are the 50-50 guys, and they're the guys that can stress the defense. And he's counting on these screens, pass these across the middle for these guys to take it to the house. And I think alone that's going to cost us.
So, Eric, I guess you're frustrated about the lack of development or the fast tracking. Look, I can understand the frustration with maybe some new guys coming into the fray and having to play and maybe not developing or seeing some of the guys that you have been developing as much. But the college football game has changed tremendously. Oh, yeah. With the transfer portal. And so, Eric, one of the things that a lot more stress and pressure on coaches to kind of win immediately, because you don't have maybe the window that you once had as far as, hey, I can develop a player and he still be here. That's the other part of it as well. A lot of those guys that you may have named in today's era, they may not have stayed for 2 years or 3 years and wait their turn. And so that's kind of the game is how it's played now today. And so if you've got a chance to, particularly with a senior or an upper class quarterback, you better get him some weapons, and so you can try to win now. I think that's probably the most critical part, that when you look at college football, that's kind of where you're at today.
Deuce, I think it's interesting because, you know, entering the year, a lot of the comments were that this is the deepest wide receiver room that Brian Kelly's ever had in his 35-plus years of coaching. And the one player that Eric had just mentioned that I don't think has gotten going yet, and I think Coach Kelly has also mentioned this, that they need to get him going, is Chris Hilton.
Yep.
I mean, he was one of LSU's representatives at SEC Media Days. He's a, you know, team captain type of guy, a leader on the offense, leader of that wide receiver room, a senior type of guy as well, as you were mentioning about keeping guys in the program. And he's dealt with injury issues in the past. Like, I remember last year was going to be his breakout, but then he's got the foot injury that keeps him out basically for more than half of the season. And he gets back late and gets off to a slow start once he gets back onto the field. But then he showed some flashes late, and he just really hasn't gotten going yet. I don't know how much of that is due to, you know, the injury to Garrett Nussmeier. You know, he's been dealing with that torso issue and how they really haven't been airing it out down the field necessarily early on this season. But that's a guy that I think Coach Kelly and LSU's offensive staff need to get going and want to get going as well.
Yeah, no, I agree, which I think, you know, anytime that you have some of those playmakers that can help you make some plays, you want to give them the football, and particularly a guy that, Chris is a guy that you feel like that can be a difference maker, a guy that can stretch the field for you. But at some point, you have to look and say, hey, is this on the staff or is this on the player? You know, because it's not like he's new in the system. Neither of those guys, when you talking about your quarterback and or top receivers that were returning, you know, it's not like this is their first time playing together. And so that's probably a collective effort where, one, the coach has to call, you know, the opportunities and dial it up. But two, it has to be executed to the level that you kind of have to be able to go out there and do. And so until you have that going, you can see some of the frustration, because we can all agree. The talk of this team even coming close to the 19 LSU team, that's not even, you know, it's nowhere, I don't want to say possible, but it hadn't looked that way at all. And so I think it's still taking some time for those guys to come together up front. And then on the outside, you've got to be able to continue to make plays.
Right there with you. As far as the Berrian Brown, he's been someone that LSU brought from the transfer portal from Kentucky.
From Kentucky.
And he's been a weapon. Aaron Anderson's been Mr. Consistency, though. Like, that has been their top dog in the passing attack. It was really last season, but also this season as well, early on. So, you know, it's just different elements, different receivers that bring different aspects to the game. Like, Nick Anderson, the transfer from Oklahoma, is another one that they're probably looking to get going as well. Kind of the more big body possession type of receiver. Whereas, you know, it really depends on what LSU's plan in the passing attack is, given their opponent. And, you know, we'll see what ends up happening tomorrow night at Southeastern if LSU and Garrett Nussmeier can get any of these guys going.
Yeah, definitely have to get them going. I think, you know, when you have those type of weapons, trying to keep them happy is always challenging as well, just because you have so many of them. Hey, we're going to go ahead and take a break here. We do have Dalton Wasserman coming up. You can find him on X at PFF_Dalton. He is the co-host of the PFF College Football and PFF Data Analyst. He will be coming up a little bit. We're going to break down some of the top college matchups as well as NFL matchups tomorrow, really, and Sunday. So, fans in the pro, Deuce McAllister and Charlie Long.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fans and a Pro. Deuce McAllister here with Charlie Long in the booth. Right now we have Dalton Wasserman, PFF data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. You can find him on X at PFF underscore Dalton. I appreciate you joining me. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic. Ready for another great weekend of football.
Definitely ready for a great weekend of football. I want to get your take on a couple of the college games that you're excited about this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you're talking about, some of the biggest games, those three ranked games we have, but the one I'm looking forward to the most is Texas Tech versus Utah. I think it could be the biggest game in the Big 12 this year. You've got Utah's kind of bouncing back from a 5-7 season with a new quarterback, a new offensive coordinator. They've looked really good so far, and Texas Tech brought in a mountain of talent from the transfer portal. I think their defensive line against Utah's offensive line is going to be the matchup of the week.
Well, when you talk about Texas Tech, I think, you know, anytime that it comes up, you have to talk about them off the field, really, you know, them kind of being trying to be a big player in the NIL space. And I want to, you know, just get your take on that, if you have any take on that, on some of the things that they've been able, some of the, you know, players that they're in on, and just some of the things that they have, they're kind of trying to put in play out there at Texas Tech. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're good. No, you're absolutely seeing that, both with the results on the field and with some of the recruiting battles that they're winning. But when you look at this year's team, their defensive line, their front four up front is all star players from other programs. When you talk about David Bailey from Stanford transferring in, one of the best pass rushers in the country, Lee Hunter, the defensive tackle from UCF. And then you even look at the offensive side. I look at a guy like Terrence Carter, the tight end from down there near you guys in Louisiana. He's a really good football player too, and he allows them to win after the catch, as well as, you know, with their receiver that they brought in vertically down the field. So they've done just a fantastic job both in the transfer portal, and they're starting to make wins, especially with that NIL, the NIL money happen in the recruiting trail as well.
Yeah, and I got to get your take on it. I know I still want to come back to another game or two for you, but I got to get your take on a team like Notre Dame. Notre Dame still being ranked in the top 25 and 0-2. You know, you have a couple of close losses. I think both of their losses, they are total of less than 4 points. But just talk about that Notre Dame squad, how they are still top 25, and possibly if they can win out, because they do play some ranked opponents, can still work them way their way back into the playoff picture. Just give me your overall thoughts on that squad.
So I think the one thing that's the most concerning for me is that in the trenches, and especially on defense, they just haven't been quite as good as we're used to seeing, right? Their offensive line played a really poor game the first game against Miami. And then defensively, you know, giving up, 68 points through the first 2 weeks, we're just not used to seeing that from Notre Dame, especially as elite as their defense was last year. Obviously, they lost Al Golden to the NFL. He's the defensive coordinator for the Bengals now. But Chris Ash coming in there, he's got to find a way to give up fewer points with this team, because we did not see, up other than one game, them with as bad a defensive performance last year as they had this year. You know, the USC game, and you could argue the Ohio State game, but even then they figured out in the title game in the second half, played a little bit better. I think the big theme with Notre Dame is the room for error is immediately gone. They have to win the next 10 games. To me, a 9-3 Notre Dame team with their schedule has almost no chance, just about no chance of getting in. Just like they did last year, they're going to have to finish their season with 10 wins just to have a shot.
Dalton, down here there's a ton of buzz about Tulane and their 3-0 start. They take down Northwestern in the first game. They take down Duke and Darian Minson in the revenge game this past weekend at Yeoman Stadium. And now they have this matchup. They go to Oxford, top 15 ranked Ole Miss, you know, the third Power 4 ranked team that they're going to be playing this upcoming in their non-conference schedule. But Tulane and Coach John Summerall, they've really embraced that challenge. And, you know, what you've seen from Jake Retzlaff, the BYU transfer early on at quarterback, who really got here basically a month and a half ago, but the way that he played against Duke, he was the American Athletic Conference Player of the Week. He now looks really comfortable in what Tulane's trying to do offensively. But granted, it's going to be a tough task going to Oxford and once again playing the top 15 ranked Rebels.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a fascinating football game, especially on the Tulane side, because if they win that, then they're clearly the favorite to make the playoff out of the group of five, as long as, you know, you still have to win the American along the way, and there's some darn good teams there. But if they win this game, they're clearly the favorite. If they lose this game, especially at least if it's not convincingly, then you still feel like they're one of the two or three favorites to come out of the group of five and get a playoff spot. I think the big thing in this game with Retzlaff, you know, I find it interesting. You mentioned that he's only been there about, 6-7 weeks. you know, maybe he doesn't know the whole playbook yet and the entire system, but they've let him go out there and be an athlete, man. He's been one of the five or six best running quarterbacks in the country so far this year, and his legs have been a big factor in the offense. And I think if they're going to beat Ole Miss, they got to find a way to get turnovers. The secondary, Tulane's secondary has been fantastic so far. If Ole Miss, I think Lane Kiffin, I think he announced that Trinidad Chambliss, last week's starter, is going to be the starter this week with Austin Simmons still hurt. But whether it is Simmons or Chambliss, Tulane, I think if they can get multiple turnovers in this game with a really good secondary, that's when you start to talk about tilting that game in their favor. But Redflaw's been really good. The defense has been really good. And they're really still a work in progress, and they played so well so far anyway.
Talking with Dalton Wasserman, he's the PFF data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. Can find him on X at PFF underscore Dalton. You just talked about Texas Tech as well as Utah and the Tulane Ole Miss game. Give me one more college game, top matchup that you're interested in watching, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Saints-Seattle matchup.
Oh, boy, how could you not love the Jackson Arnold revenge game with Auburn going to Oklahoma? Both teams, their first SEC game of the year, both undefeated. Everything that's surrounding Jackson Arnold and Auburn and all the hype up there. Going to see John Mateer, who's right now one of the Heisman favorites in Oklahoma. Brent Venables trying to take the next step with that program. I think on and off the field, everything surrounding it, that might be the most fascinating game of the entire weekend. It really is. When you talk about two teams trying to emerge, trying to prove themselves into SEC contention, they're both not all the way there yet, but for both teams to start 1-0 in the SEC, especially against that opponent in those circumstances, I can't wait for Auburn, Oklahoma. And honestly, I know it's all about the two quarterbacks, but, and I know you're going to love this, Deuce, I think the team that runs the football better in that game is going to be the one that wins it.
Dalton, how impressed have you been with John Mateer early on, the transfer from Wazoo, and kind of leading Oklahoma to that big win that they had a couple weeks ago against Michigan? That was really his first test, because Michigan's defense over the past few years has always been real stout, but he looked very poised, and obviously he's an older quarterback. But, you know, Mike Dettillier has brought up the Baker Mayfield comparison, that he plays a lot like Baker, obviously shades of the OU quarterback there. Just want to get your thoughts on John Mateer early on. I know that this is another test against a good Auburn defense.
Yeah, he's been solid so far, and I think the encouraging thing if you're Oklahoma is that for their offense, there's more to go. I don't think they have played A-plus offense yet, but you're right, to grind out a big game against Michigan, obviously a very good Michigan defense in Wink Martindale, to grind that game out really with kind of grittiness and toughness, and he had, I believe it was 19 carries in that game. He was really the heart and soul of the running game, along with a couple of big plays with his arm. John Mateer and the athleticism and what he can do outside the pocket and with his legs, he can really will you to victories, and that's what he did in that game, along with Brent Venables' defense being awesome. But he's solid. I'll be honest with you. I think there's more room to grow in that offense, and I think the entire offense can still play better. I'd give him about a B+ so far, but that's good enough to be undefeated. I think there's a real chance he could get better as the year goes on.
Yeah, that atmosphere in Oklahoma should be electric. You know, just having Auburn. Auburn's going to have to survive that first quarter or so. I mean, or things could get ugly for them. I mean, but it's going to be fascinating. Just those two quarterbacks, how they've been able to carry, you know, kind of both of those teams. And so it will be a good matchup, a good SEC matchup for you. Dalton, I want to get your take on the Saints-Seattle matchup this upcoming Sunday, and just some of the things that the Saints have to be able to do well as they battle the Seahawks, who defensively have played really, really well. And offensively, I think that they're still a work in progress as they try to kind of figure out and truly identify who they want to be as an offensive system.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'll start on the Saints offensive side, where I actually think Spencer Rattler, he hasn't been fantastic, but he hasn't played bad football through 2 weeks either. The thing I'm looking at on a week-to-week basis with the Saints is their offensive line. I'm curious about the guard situation. You got Trevor Penning, I think, is going to be back in there now at left guard. Cesar Ruiz on the other side has really struggled by our metrics at PFF so far this year, and you got two big-time defensive tackles for Seattle that are a real problem on the inside. Leonard Williams, the veteran, and Byron Murphy, the second-year man out of Texas, they've both been really, really good so far. Those are two guys you really have to focus on. And I know offensive linemen always want to get to the second level, but if you let those guys run free around the line of scrimmage, you're going to have a big problem. And then I think on the other side, Seattle, you know, former OC for the Saints, Clint Kubiak, got into his run game against the Saints. They want to run the football. They want to run those outside zone schemes, as you guys saw last year down there in New Orleans. He wants to get into the foundation of the offense. The first week against San Francisco, wasn't able to do that. They lost. Last week, they ran the ball well on Pittsburgh, found a way to win that game, a big win on the road. So I think that's what it comes down to for Kubiak. He always wants to run the football first and not put too much on Sam Darnold early in games.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Dalton, about Sam Darnold last year with the Vikings, the 14-3 record. They kind of fell apart a little bit late. And a lot of that was because Darnold was under pressure. And that's been kind of the MO with him, is that when he's in a clean pocket, you know, I want to get your, you know, the PFF numbers about Darnold. It's very similar to another guy like a Jared Goff, where if they have good offensive line play, they're not getting pressured from the opposing defensive line. They're able to just kind of sit back there and pick apart an opposing defense. So for the Saints defensive front, it's a huge game to get after Darnold, make him uncomfortable, and that's how he can kind of maybe take down the Seahawks team, is if that offense isn't clicking on all cylinders.
I think that's absolutely true. If you can get the four-man rush going against that team, and Seattle's got a very, very young offensive line that's still figuring things out in pass protection. You got rookies playing up front, second-year guys playing up front, very, very young line that if you can really mess with them up front and get that pressure on Darnold, especially in obvious passing situations, that's really where you can win. Because one of the big splits we had on Darnold last year, too, this goes with the run game. I believe he was the fifth-best play-action passer that we had in the NFL last season, but when he gets into straight dropback situations, that dips down to a much more average or slightly below average level. So if you can get them in situations where they don't have a two-way go and they don't have those play-action scenarios to work with, and your D-line can just pin their ears back on that young offensive line, then you talk about that scenario you're getting at is, okay, now Darnold's under pressure. He's got to drop back in obvious situations. He's got to really throw it through seven-man coverages. That's the big thing you want to get into. So I think a big thing for the Saints to get into those situations is going to be win early downs and then get into third and eight and make him beat you without the play action and the deception and everything that goes with that.
Dodd, man, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. You can, like I said, you can find him on X at PFF_Dalton, as well as the co-host of PFF College Football Show. Thank you so much for joining us here on Fans and a Pro.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys big time. Thank you.
Thanks, Dalton.
Hey, that's some good stuff. You can hear just the data and the numbers and just being able to say, he did say one thing that I was like, I don't know. The Saints third and long defense hadn't been very good the first 2 weeks. And so even if you get him in a third and eight situation, can we get off the field? That's the question for that Saints defense. We're going to take a little break here. Fans in the Pro, Deuce McAllister and Charlie Long. Welcome back to Fans and a Pro. Deuce McAllister here. My partner, co-host Mike Haas, is already in Seattle. Charlie Long is holding it down here in studio with me. Just had an awesome call with Dalton Walserman from PFF. And at 5:25, we have Jen Mueller. She's the Seahawks radio sideline reporter, and you can find her at Jen Talk Sports. We'll break that game down as far as the Saints and Seattle. Talk about some of the guys that have already been ruled out or that are doubtful for both teams. Some pretty significant ones if you're Seattle in the secondary and for the Saints up front in the trenches, whether it's offense and or defense. We'll break that down a little bit more. You can give us a call at 504-350-1746 or check us out on the free Odyssey app. Hey, look, I got to shout out Magazine Pizza. They do a great job of feeding our staff on game day. That's Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has sandwiches, pasta, wings, and salad. MagazinePizza.com. I'm going to talk to Frank here. I know he has a question. He's giving me a shout from across the river over in Gretna. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Deuce? I got a question for you, and you, of all people in this country, have the answer. So this is why I'm asking you. About a week or two ago, I'm watching documentaries on YouTube, and I came across a sports documentary called The Wishbone. And it was pretty interesting documentary. You know, it was back in the early 70s, I think it was. UT coach, they were a losing team. He created this formation, and it became a hit. And then you started seeing it, and I saw it in the 80s, you know, in high school and college games, and it just faded away. Why is it not a valuable game of play anymore? Is it the speed? And if somebody decides one day, say LSU lines up in the wishbone, does the defense team know how to to defend against it.
Yeah, Frank, thank you. Good question as well. And the wishbone goes back even further than that, as far as where it was started, invented, and, you know, really why you don't see it a lot. You know, you talk about the advancement of the passing game with some of the 7-on-7 leagues that you have now in the development of quarterbacks. And it's really the alignment and guys being able to, when you run the wishbone, you know, it's normally a wing back. I played in a wishbone offense, the wing T, and, you know, there's a couple different versions of the wishbones, and some teams run it really well. It takes a certain type of lineman. You've got to have a quarterback that, can run the football. And, you know, you talked about one of the things that is a little different now. It's the speed. It's the speed of the game. And then the other part of it is my quarterback. You know, will he be able to not only last that game, but will he be available for 16 games, 17 games? You're talking NFL, college. You still do have some teams, some of the academies still run it. And I think Georgia Tech was one of the mainstays, but even them, they don't run it as much anymore. So it's just not that kids don't like to play in that set. It's one where they want to air it out, and then the hits on the quarterback. There's a couple of different ways defensively that you have to be able to stop the wishbone. It is truly an assignment deal when you talk about being able to stop the veer and some of the other plays that you're going to get, you know, from the wing back, the speed sweep, the inside trap, different things of that nature. You've got to be prepared for it. But hey, if I'm the defensive end, my job may be to crash down every time on the fullback. And if I'm outside linebacker, my job is to hit the quarterback every time. So it becomes a situation where if you're not gaining positive yards every time, normally your quarterback is not good enough to throw the football. So that's kind of where you see a lot of teams kind of shy away from the wishbone, at least running it on the high school and college level. That's probably where you're going to find it more so on the high school and college level. And obviously in the NFL, you don't have any teams that run it. You know, the closest that you're going to get is the triple option look, but it's going to be more so out of the shotgun. And you have variations of it where it's still the dive. Now I have the tight end that's coming over. He's running the flat. And then the third option is the quarterback running and then being able to throw it. So there's still concepts of the wishbone, but not the traditional under center, you know, and I have the fullback, the H-back, and the wing back per se. And so now every team is normally in 11, 12 personnel. They're spreading it out, you know, and trying to take advantage of teams through the air. And so, Frank, I appreciate the question, but that's just how the game of football has kind of developed over the years, where, you know, a couple years ago, they didn't even want to hand it to the tailbacks anymore because teams were having so much success throwing the football. The first hour is down. This is Deuce McAllister here on Fans in the Pro with Charlie Long as we set the stage for the Saints and Seahawks kickoff at 3:05 here locally. You got the Bud Light countdown to kickoff where Bobby Hebert and Steve Geller will be handing it off to myself, Mike Haas, and Jeff Newack. Fans in the Pro.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.